an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill the promise. Let us all unite!
Well, welcome back, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. We're talking about that nation today with KW coming to us from Kentucky. Oh, going through the going through the process of figuring things out. We again, now when we're talking about when we're talking about Roman civil law, which is the same basically as our civil law, when we define the word pagan, it means pertaining to the worship of false gods. Well, we could certainly say that the Pope is a false god, as are all kings and all peoples and that claim to be the magistrates over men. So, you know, the word god, I suppose you have to put yourself back into the place where they were back then when you went to court, you knew you were praying to the god, to the magistrate. The god and judge were the same thing. And today we don't use those terms because we've been so Judaized, if you will, into the Judeo-Christian notion. But this notion that the civil law and the Roman law are the same thing, understanding that the word civil, again, means natural or proper to a citizen relating to the community or to the policy of government of citizens and subjects of a state. So, what the hell? We're Romans, aren't we? Kelby, you there? Did we lose?
Sorry, I had to mute on.
Ah.
But any group of people here in the United States, whether it be a city, a town, a village, can form their own government. Whether it be a little small town or a city or county. There was one story about a county who was succeeded from the Union, and nobody argued with them or anything. They wouldn't have no commerce with them. And after, I think it was almost nearly a year of the surrounding counties not having anything to do with that county changed its mind and wanted back in the Union. And that was right here in Kentucky. And there's another case here in Kentucky, I want to say Hollins versus Edmonds, I think it is. But anyways, the court ruled that when the court Turks decided to incorporate it, it entered into the realm of Caesar, and as such will be governed by the laws of Caesar, or in this case, the statutes of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So that's what the statutes are. The realm of Caesar. I'm trying to find that case, and I'll beat it out exact verbatim for you.
Yeah, please do. That's interesting. Because, I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, I'm not... You know, you look at these, you start looking at these things in a sort of a neutrality because the reality hits you and you stop being surprised by these things. It's just the way it is. And like I said, when the Roman lawmakers and the Hammurabi and everybody's hanging up in the halls of Congress, you shouldn't be surprised at this kind of thing. It's just, we literally are. In this capacity that we're talking about, just Roman citizens, where citizenship basically comes from. But that's in the capacity that we're talking about in agency.
Yes.
And so certainly agency is not a new concept.
Oh, heck no. Agency goes back as far as what we call, history.
Civil history.
well, yeah, we go all the way back to Hammurabi, the Code of Hammurabi, or whatever the heck his name was. It's difficult to put your finger on it from so far away. But, yes, that same law applies. It's less harsh than it used to be. But the only since the introduction of equity. See, equity allows that agent who's been convicted of a common law tort to have some equity. That's why some people don't go to jail so long. When you used to steal a horse, they'd hang your butt. Right now, today, if you steal a horse, just go to jail for a while. You see?
Yeah.
And that is because of the equity that you provide in their society, especially if you're, if you ever notice that some rich people get off a lot easier than some poor people. It's because of their equity. They're more valuable to society.
So they're more valuable because of their estate, their civil estate. They're out of jail than in jail. But then someone that doesn't have anything, the poor, the impoverished, the non-landowner, would be much more valuable in a state of as a prisoner where he's voluntarily able to, instead of sitting in a cell all day, go and work. And actually earn 60 cents an hour.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's that what the judge said. It says, as the trial judge phrased it, once the church determined to enter the realm of Caesar by forming a corporation, it was required to abide by the rules of Caesar, or in this case, the statute of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And that's Collins versus Edmonds. So see, there's a difference between you being by yourself and being equal with all other men, and then you forming a corporation with other men. That's when you enter into the realm of Caesar, because when you form into contracts or corporations with other men, what law is going to govern? What's going to be the law of that corporation?
Okay. Good point. Hey, we got a couple of calls. I don't want to keep these guys hanging on too long. Let's go to Ed in Las Vegas. Ed in Dallas. My bad. Welcome, Ed.
Hello, Clint. How are you? And what's your guest name?
KW.
KW. How are you, KW?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
I was just... Y'all are way past what I was going to talk about. But I will say this, that... you know, about what you're talking about now, about Roman law. Roman law originally was good law. When the nation was pure, it was good law. And that's where the United States took a lot of its leads from, was the original Roman law from when they were a pure nation. But what they did was, what ruined Rome is the same thing that's ruined America, is they allowed the foreigner into their lands. And it destroyed their nation, because you can't have a nation unless it's a pure stock of one people. To go back to what you guys were saying about citizenship, the 1802 Act of, I forgot which Congress it was, the 1802 Act is still current law, and it is the law that identifies who the posterity were. And because the preamble to the Constitution, you know, said that they bequeathed an inheritance to their posterity. They established the country, made a claim to the land, and bequeathed what they did to their posterity. And the definition of their posterity, because it's not in the preamble, is in the, actually it started out in the 1790 Act, Naturalization Act, and then it was 1790, 1795, and then 1802. And the 1802 Act is still current law. It has never been changed. I've done the research on it, one up one side and down the other, and the 1802 Act was never repealed. And so it is the law of the land, and those people in that Naturalization Act that it speaks of are the state citizen. They're the federal law, even though it's federal law, it indicates to all the states who the citizenship was intended to be for the nation. And the nation in every constitution, each one of the constitutions, if you'll go to their constitutions, each one of the original constitutions, the ones that set up the state, right, when the state was accepted into the Union. That first constitution that was set up was states in all of them, in every state, the same thing, that the ones who were the citizens were the ones who got the political rights. And that's, you have two kinds of rights. You have civil rights, or they call them civil liberties back in the days of the colonial days. They call them civil liberties, but today we call them civil rights. But they're interchangeable. You can say it either way. Liberty, you can say it either way. And it doesn't matter. It still refers to the same thing. And the civil rights are everything else except the political rights. And the political rights are by law. See, under the civil rights are God-given. All the civil rights are God-given. Your right to be married, your right to have children, your right to do your own thing, your right to contract. All of that stuff is civil rights. Okay, but the political rights is a different thing. The political rights are the rights that you have in order to participate in government. And that was by law. And every state, every nation in the world, you know, has their political rights. And somebody, whoever they indicate in the law that has the absolute right to political rights are the ones who can participate in government. And it just so happens that all the constitutions, if you go to every one of them, they'll say the same thing, and that is that the male Anglo-Saxon of the age of 21 can be in government. And that's the only one that was ever put into our law, the original organic law, that is. And it's still law. It had never been done away with. All that happened was that the Civil War, they, at the point of a bayonet, made all the states rewrite their constitutions, but that didn't make it law. It was not, definitely not law. It was everything but law. And so, in order to know what the real law is, you have to go back to the Constitution which created your state. That is the law. And that's what you were talking about a while ago, that we're under that law. We're under the organic law, but we're not under it's actually equitable law of all these agencies and all these regulations and driver's licenses and all that stuff. We're not under that law. That law is for the other people, the foreigner. And that foreigner was made a citizen under the 14th Amendment, or the 13th Amendment, excuse me.
The only thing I don't agree with you here is I'm looking at the definition of civil rights. It says, civil rights are rights capable of being enforced or redressed in a civil action, term applied to certain rights secured to citizens of the United States by the 13th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution and by various acts of Congress. So civil rights are not God. Well, they're God-given if the God is the magistrates, but they're not.
Well, it depends on the sense. Remember, there's a sense. Like, for example, there's a sense of a person. When you're reading a document, a legal document, it uses the word person. You've got to understand what sense that person is being used. You have two kinds of persons. You have the juristic person, which is the foreigner, and you have the original state citizen person. He's also a person, and you got to know which one the document's talking about, or the law. When you look at the law, you got to know whether you're looking at the organic law. They use the word, like in the Naturalization Act, it says that any alien who, being a free white person, can become a citizen of the United States if he does the following things, okay? So you're looking at, he's a citizen of the United States, right? That's what it says in the organic law of 1790, right? So you're not talking about the same kind of citizen in that law that you're talking about, like when you go to title, I think it's Title V, where the aliens or anybody can become a citizen in Title V, I think it is Title V. That is a different kind of citizen. That's not the same kind of person. Completely different.
When we go look and examine cases involving the 14th Amendment, when it says all persons born or naturalized and subject to the jurisdiction of the United States or citizen of the United States, we have to understand that that term all persons includes artificial persons. As a matter of fact, most of the cases brought under the 14th Amendment are brought by artificial persons.
Yes, yes. They're corporations or foreigners. Either one, if you're, that's what it refers to. It doesn't refer to the state citizen.
Right.
So you're a separate entity.
Some of the what we call municipalities that were born, or some of the cities that became incorporated after the 14th Amendment, obtained this right as a citizen of the United States. See? In a corporation,
I don't think they became a citizen. They became a person, not a citizen.
Well,
see, the court case said that they didn't make them a citizen.
Whoa. What does it say? All persons are citizens.
All persons born. The term all persons born include artificial persons. How else does an artificial person get born unless there's what we call organizational documents?
Right.
Right, so that person, that municipality, the city of San Francisco, when it incorporated, whenever it did, became a person. It entered into the realm of Caesar.
Yeah.
And as such,
will
be governed by the laws of Caesar.
So they can sue
and be
sued.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. Go ahead, guest.
Yeah. That's so they could be sued and be sued across state lines. Yes.
Right. Okay.
So if the city of San Francisco did business with the city of Miami for some resources or goods or labor, those contracts would be enforced at the federal law under the federal statutes, which is what we call the realm of Caesar.
We want
out of the realm of Caesar.
Yes, and the only way you can do that is to clean up your nation. You've got to make your nation pure again, and that's where the problem is.
Well, I disagree.
I don't agree with that either. There is no cleaning up. The nation is a fiction.
That's what a nation is. If you look at the definition of nation, that's what a nation is. In its purest form, means one people, just like the Declaration of Independence said, when one people.
If you don't like the club you're hanging out, quit. If you don't like the country, if you don't like the corporation you work for, quit.
Yeah.
Well, then you can write your first estate.
Quit, to abandon, relinquish, surrender. To quit a service is to abandon it, not to leave it expecting to return the next day.
Or like I like to put it, you resign.
To quit is generally necessary where the relation of a landlord and tenant exists. You can't just clean up the nation because you are not the nation. You are, as a foreigner, as an agent of the United States, citizen of the United States, you are not the nation. You are under the nation and its incorporation. You don't clean up the nation. The nation is what's governing those who are unclean, if you will.
Yeah. Well, the nation is made up of the people, though. That's what
but you're not the people.
And the nation makes the laws. The laws make the corporations, and the municipal corporations, and the municipal corporations may create the agencies which are granted. Since they are persons born, they are citizens because they're subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. The reason they're subject to the jurisdiction of the United States is because those entities were created by the laws of the United States.
See, what's happening is that, as it always is, we are claiming to be a person of the United States, and therefore we believe that we are the people of the United States. And what he's talking about really is called a quit claim, which means to give up one's claim of title. It's remise release. What's that?
Remember the cartoon Pinocchio when everybody wanted to go to the island and they started turning into jackasses?
Yeah.
Well, that's what most people are doing. They're either giving up a certain being, a certain existence, a legal existence, and trading some of the rights to get some of those benefits that the corporation offers. Now, we got to remember that the District of Columbia is a state with its own government. The government of the District of Columbia is not a constitution. It's Congress and its unrestricted and unlimited power to govern the District of Columbia and its citizens and entities.
Which is where we are domiciled, and we have permanent...
The entity is.
Yeah, right. The entity we're using in the states, making us foreign, right. So it really... that's the problem, is we're identifying ourselves as something we're not.
He mentioned something ago. He was talking about, the physical person versus the artificial person. And that's very important to understand the difference between the two. All right? you're a physical person, and you live in California, and you're one of the people of California, or what some people would call a native-born Californian. But that doesn't change the fact that you're operating an entity that has a juridical person that has its domicile and creation under the laws of the United States and the District of Columbia, which is a different nation than that of California. This is where private international law and admiralty come in. That's what private international law is. It deals with physical persons and juridical persons of different nationalities.
Yeah, and I think the notion that the caller was trying to make about cleaning up the nation, I think what we've sort of been trained to do is be all patriotic and religious about the nation itself, about its origins and everything else, and we have to realize that the nation itself is set up to clean house. You don't clean the nation. The nation is set up to govern those who are not responsible in their own actions, who are not self-governing, who are non-compos mentis, not of the right mind, who are idiots when it comes to the knowledge of the law. That's what the nation is for. You don't have to clean up the nation, but you do have to do what we're doing now, which is learning and obtaining as much knowledge as we possibly can, even though we'll never obtain it all. And then actually saying, I want to not be part of that quote-unquote nation in the capacity that I've been tricked into participating in.
Yeah, what it comes down to is you do not want to use their mark, name, and number, because that's what it is. It's their entity. The birth certificate is a mark. The legal name is the legal name of the registered organization, the state agency, and the number is the date of birth.
And to be clear as well, and I think our caller is still on, but this is the notion of the Sesta Qui Ve trust, the Sesta Qui Ve use, the act, and that means literally. When we say, and I'm sure I'm saying butchering that, Sesta Qui Ve, he whose life is the measure of the duration of an estate, the person for whose life any lands, tenements, or hereditaments are held. So literally when we're talking about the person, we're talking again about the estate. So it's the state of basically being dead in this very strange capacity that we've talked about before.
The entity's body only consists of a body of rights to property.
And they are civil rights.
The 14th Amendment gave those men and women who were not the people, it gave them commercial rights, which means to say that even though this newly freed slave, when he entered into a contract with one of the people, the law was going to uphold that contract between one of the people, one of the sovereign people, and that man. He was going to hold up those contracts. So they granted them commercial rights. Then in the 60s, we have the civil rights movement, which they were allowed the protection of the civil law, an equal protection of the civil law. Now the only thing left to accomplish for the masses of people who are not the people is to obtain those rights secured by the Constitution and laws of the United States and the several states, which is going to be very hard because the people that control this country, they don't want to give that up.
Yeah.
See, that's why we have in Ferguson and a lot of these Occupy protests and all these protests and everything, a lot of these people saying we the people are not the people.
Mm-hmm.
So the real people are getting a little nervous, and that's why they're giving out all the ammos and weapons to all their agents in the form of police officers and security agencies and everything, because what we have is a bunch of immigrants who were granted citizenships, you know, that a juridical person to which they would have rights here in America. We have these people essentially wanting a revolt against the very people who granted them the citizenship so they can come here. See?
Yeah. Caller, do we still have you, Ed?
Yeah, they actually didn't get rights. They got privileges.
Right. The ones who were not the and I hesitate to call people sovereigns. The people that own the country. There's a people that owns the country, lock, stock, and barrel, and they have an inheritance in the nation.
Yes.
And the other people are here at the good grace of those who own it.
Yes.
That's the way it is.
Yes, and when they give value, they obtain rights.
Yeah, well, we're talking about another word that we worship and we don't know what it means is rights, because we're talking about enforceable rights.
Yes.
We're talking about rights that are forced upon you. They are not good things.
Well, one cannot have a right without an obligation. A right cannot exist unless that right is obligatory upon some other. You see,
there are some rights they didn't get too, and one of them was, if you read Hurtado versus California, that case said that under the 14th Amendment, that a person does not necessarily have a right to a grand jury where the charge is murder from the state.
Now that's
absolute in the Constitution, so there's got to be two different kinds of citizens.
Yeah, well, KW, I mean, who has the right to a grand jury? Who has the right to a jury, for God's sake?
The people.
Yeah, exactly.
The people in the country.
Well, there's one sense of the way we use the word citizen. All right, like I said, that's one of the constituent members of the sovereignty, one of the posterity, the people for whom and by whom the constitutions were made. This is what some people might want to call the capital C citizen versus the little c citizen. Some people just have citizenship. They've been granted citizenships, which are juridical persons, which allow them certain rights within that society, the right to bring a suit, the right to sue and be sued, and rights to benefits because they pay taxes. When we say citizen, we got to understand that there's different classes. And it all depends, like I said, who you are and where you come from. Because that guy from Kenya or Zimbabwe or something, he may be granted and naturalized and clothed with the rights of citizenship, but he is not one of the people, period.
He wears a lawsuit.
Right. Well, if you were to say you were one of the people of the sovereign state of Kentucky, I would ask you, where's your evidence? And when you don't have no evidence, I'd tell you to get out of my court.
Yeah.
These people know who they're... These people keep meticulous records. They know who the people are, and they know who the foreigners are. The foreigners always have to register.
And to be clear, it's always been this way. I mean, this is what constitutions have always been.
Well, when you walk into court, they can see it in your face. They can see your skin color. They know who's who in the zoo when you walk
into the courtroom. It's certainly a confidence game. Ed, thanks for the call, man. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Micro Plant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Micro Plant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Head now, head now, don't dream it's over. Head now, head now.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to KW today. You know, the caller had a good point. That, you know, you had the 230 or so year Republic of Rome, and then you had the same time where it became a quote-unquote democratic type of notion. Of course, you have the quotes from the Founding Fathers where they absolutely despised the notion of democracy. You have Plato writing that democracy is the lowest form of, you know, the only next step can be total tyranny and despotism after democracy, because everybody's after their own interests. And, you know, part of that is this notion that we're talking about, which is the unlimited agency relationship, where anybody can come and become a citizen and bring in their own culture and basically damage the culture that's already there. So, I mean, I can't disagree with that notion, and I almost feel like we've been through or gone through the same sort of political alteration that Rome went through when it changed, when it went from this notion of a republic, where, in other words, anti-public, and then it went to a pro-public or a democracy type of notion.
Well, yeah, you broke up there a little bit on me. I didn't hear all that toward the end, but if you could say that last part again.
Well, it's kind of like the same notion that Rome went from being an anti-public or, you know, republic to pro-public in the democracy form and the agency form, and we've kind of gone through the same thing. We're a bunch of people from different cultures and ethnicities, etc., are coming and bringing their culture with them, and meanwhile, the private culture that was always here is basically being demolished on the public level.
Yes, and you know, and that's playing. You know, America, the American people have plenty of enemies. The two biggest, are, of course, like I said before, is corruption and ignorance. The third biggest enemy is foreign powers wishing to seek the demise of what we call a constitutional republic, a nation of laws. You know, and it's real important when we talk about going into court and why we're in court, you know, and it all has to do with obligations. And either you have the obligation or you don't. Either you have the obligation to get a driver's license or you don't. Either you have the obligation to pay the tax or you don't. And it all comes down to evidence. And most of the court cases, everyone's going to be presumed a citizen of the country wherein they reside until the contrary is shown. And when we talk about contrary, you know, until being shown, we have to show that with evidence that we no longer owe allegiance to that law.
Yeah, and that seems to be the most important part of this whole thing. And I was thinking about the difference between what we talk about with Daniel all the time on Wednesdays and what we talk about with you. And you know, this notion of being just set completely free under God's law and the natural, you know, is a notion that is actually beginning to be more unsettling to me. Not because it's not doable or it's not right, but because you have absolutely no protection. I mean, you become no different than a protected wildlife, right? You become an Indian. What did we do to Indians, right? I mean, you become an Indian. You become an original, an aboriginal. You become something that can be destroyed, like the Christians were thrown to the lions because they wouldn't become legal Christians. They only wanted to be something not legal, not a status, but the real thing. And it seems to me like what you figured out here is that you can sort of have the best of both worlds, where you can still have that protective notion and say, look, I'm not under your law, I'm above your law, and
right.
Yet the law still recognizes.
Yeah, and you were, and, you know, when you're speaking to the United States was granted, it's a government of limited jurisdiction, and it's limited by those powers granted to it in the Constitution.
Yeah.
This applies to the people of the several states, people that make up the people of the United States. But this does not apply to those classes of citizen which pledges allegiance to the people in return for their protection. You know, that's mm-hmm. what allegiance is. It's an agreement between the sovereign and the subject to sit there and say, the subject says, well, I agree to follow your laws, And the sovereign agrees to protect him, his life, and his property in return for obedience to the laws. Now, and this is very important, too, is what law are you talking about? And the answer to that is, of course, it depends. Some
yeah.
people, you're always, see, like, the way they have it set up now is if you're one of the people of Ohio, you're going to be judged by the laws of Ohio. Even though you're in California, Mexico, China, or whatever, that's the law that governs your actions wherever you are on the face of the globe. This is the New World Order. And if you're flying that flag of the United States upon your vessel, your entity, you're going to be governed by the laws of the United States. Not every man and woman in the state of Ohio, the state Ohio, is subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
Yeah. Well, so it's important also to put this forward too. We've talked about this before, is that the flag you're flying and the flag that you're respecting is your family crest. It is your arms. It is your, It is your genealogy. It is your father. It is your God. So when you're respecting that flag, when you're flying it on holidays, when you're doing all those things, you're telling the world, hey, I am a son of the nation. I am the son of the United States. I have no blood because...
I am the posterity of the people, or an agent thereof.
Right. So I have no actual blood to offer, and therefore I have this artificial infusion of legal blood that's given to me by my father, the United States. It's really what it boils down to. Is you're literally flying your family crest by flying that flag, and it's hard to imagine that, but that's, I mean, you can verify that in the legal law. Anyway, let's go to Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, welcome.
Thank you so much, Clint and JW.
Greetings.
How you doing?
Indeed. Interesting discussion you have going on. There's some word terms you've been talking about that I have some alternative views to, if you don't mind my suggesting.
Certainly.
Well, for one, the word municipal, or perhaps municipal or municipal, we know that mundo, it means world, but it also has the word moon in it, which could relate back to the ancient land of Mu, which were likely moon worshippers. And so when we decide that maybe Mu is the world to them, maybe that's where mundo comes from, then we have disciples of the world, community disciples of the New World Order, perhaps.
Interesting theory.
Well, and then you're talking about your word citizen, which is a combination of two words. That would be city or civilis, and the denizen, which is a subject of the British Crown.
Yeah.
In fact, if you look in Black's Law 5th, along about page, that was on it just a minute ago, citizens on page 221, but denizen goes on back to page, here we go. It is on page 391, and I think I won't bore you with reading it, but there's some pretty interesting characteristics having to be a foreigner who has been made a subject of the crown ruler. In fact, you mentioned the local rule, or the lex loci emptore, local law of the emperor ruling wherever you're at on the local lex locus, they call it. And these are really very interesting concepts that very few of us have knowledge of, because nobody teaches you these things. You go to public pool school and they waste your time with socializing and sports and prom queens and chasing young plebes and so on and so forth. And you know, you really don't get much education. You get most of the indoctrination, propaganda, and socialization.
Well, now I realize what that means. I mean, that means they're teaching you how to be public.
Yes,
indeed. Well, and of course, when we look at publicus or publicus, perhaps, there's so many things with our language that are so curious. It just really defies common sense when we start looking.
Right. Well. Let us never abandon reason and logic, because if you do, you're insane.
Okay? Indeed.
So when we're talking about examining words and what they mean, me personally, I'll take the words that's written in the law dictionaries when it's pertinent, and definitions of word changes, and there's a hierarchy to that. Words do not have set meanings within certain bodies of law. We can go to one section of the statutes and a word apply a certain definition to that section of statute. There might be another definition for that chapter which applies to all the other times that word is used, except in that one section where it was defined in that one section. Then there's the statutes generally, the definitions for the statutes generally. And if you can't find the definition of a term in the section, in the chapter, the title, or the general statute's definition, well, then, of course, we're going to go to the law dictionary.
and Lex, there is one other, says you go back to the Roman law.
You could go back to Voltaire, who says, before we speak, let us define our terms, and define the word terms that you use the way you intend them to be perceived, and thereby eliminate the opportunity of your opponent to turn them against you as word weapon, mass deception, or destruction.
Well, this is where we have to take what we call the statutes. Here in Kentucky, the Kentucky Revised Statutes speak for themselves. They don't need an interpreter. They speak for themselves. And this is what we have with the attorneys. They always want to twist the words, and say, well, no, that's not what it means. Well, buddy, the statutes speak for themselves. You don't get to speak for the statutes. They speak for themselves. So when we're talking about how do we want to use terms and words that's used within the body of law, we're going to allow the statutes to speak for themselves.
Well, that's precisely what the concept of the word term attorney comes from, as a twister of the words, or a God-man who twists the words, some would suggest. And so that's what they do. They spin the words. In fact, Joey Jackson was on the Communist News Network this morning, and he was telling us about how each attorney views things from their own perspective and spin it to their own advantage. And so he's being precisely correct.
Yes. But do you want to let them get away with that?
Well, in their legal la-la land, that's exactly what they do, because they operate in negative law.
Not legal land when I'm in there.
I like lawful rather than legal, because it's either lawful or unlawful. Legal blurs the lines between what is legal versus illegal and whoever's making the claim. And that's the dangers of the legal system.
First of all, there is no law without the state.
That's an interesting note. No law without the, and of course then the word term state comes into play, and is it a state of existence or a
people?
That body of people mutually bound together by mutual consent to act for each other's common good.
Yes,
and that state could be many different kinds of states.
Well, I think that the ancient principles of the Creator and the first tribes here had to do with assemblies and families and tribes, if you will.
God did not give the Israelites any laws. Moses did.
Well, indeed, I sometimes have some concerns about the authenticity and the complete accuracy of some of those stories.
No, don't you go questioning that word. You know what I mean? There must be some back in the old days, the ancient times, it was whoever had the biggest army made the law. Whoever makes the law is the sovereign.
Well, absolutely. That's kind of what Mao said, that power comes from the end of a gun. And what Rothschild said, that power goes to whoever seizes power. And so you act as if, and there I'm the
future. And here in America, where does the sovereignty lie? In the people.
Oh, I like your concept there, speaking of as America, as opposed to the fictitious corporate United States, which doesn't really exist. It was a union of states united on the continent of America.
Oh, it exists.
Ah, indeed. I'm looking at something here that tells you the a couple of really interesting concepts. Somebody sent me a little law thing here, and it says that the United States has not had a treasury since 1921. That's 41 stat. Chapter 214, page 16.
Well, that's because the treasury was split from the treasury became basically a separate entity, but that's not a really correct way of saying it.
Well, actually it is, because what we have is what we call series trust and series agencies and series entities. And what I mean by that is that if five or six guys got together and they formed a trust, that trust could in turn create another person, another trust, and it would be called a series trust. And according to the law, it would be viewed as two separate entities. And that entity that was created by the first trust could create another trust. So now we have three trusts. And those entities could create other trusts that would have separate legal identity. So next thing you know, we have all these agencies that are derived from one agency, which is the executive branch, or the judicial branch, or the legislative branch.
Ah, Well, to the agency question, if we look at U.S. versus String, 254 U.S. 491, and Lewis versus U.S. 680 F2D 1239, it tells us that the FCC and the CIA and the FBI and the NSA, all the alphabet gangs, were never part of the U.S. government, although Corp U.S. held shares of stock in the various agencies.
Sure. The United States can hire whoever it wants to do whatever. That's why we have the private police departments. Which are really not police departments, but they're private companies that specialize in security services, which the city, the municipal corporation, has hired to police its jurisdiction.
Some would suggest they're privateers or perhaps mercenaries masquerading as public servants to generate revenue and
There is a problem here in Kentucky, and I forget the term that they use, but yes, a lot of these so-called government agencies aren't government agencies at all. They're private corporations.
Exactly. I hear the music coming there, Clint.
Yeah, we'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had sleep iPad 10 years ago. And I was in bed almost 24 hours a day. Painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all. And it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, well, stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart.
Blacksmith. All right, folks, welcome back. You're in the Corporation Nation. Chris in Las Vegas. Any last words? I got one more call, man.
Oh, I just really appreciate you gentlemen entertaining other points of view and discussing these things for the mutual enlightenment of ourselves and the audience, and really appreciate the great intellects that we have on the other end there at RBN. It's a real pleasure to be considered to be accepted to be a caller on this show.
Well, absolutely, man. I appreciate the call. Thanks for the alternative point. let's see. Last caller of the night, Fred in, well, wait a minute. No, that's not right. Mark in Florida, actually. Sorry, I didn't know I had two callers on. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and I'll be really fast. And my subject is man. Man cannot make law. Man can only make legal or opinion. God. The law of nature exists without the state, as a oak tree grows without the state by its laws. The law does not exist by the state, only opinion and despotism exists by the state. Now, the Declaration of Independence, all men are endowed by their creator. He didn't say all citizens or all patriots or all British or all Russians. All men are endowed by their creator. So, then we get to the Constitution. Instead of saying we the people, it should have said we the men and women form a republic, form a government in order to safeguard our life, liberty, and property.
But that
would have made it all simple and easy to understand.
It wasn't for all people, and that's the whole point of this whole entire presentation, is that the Constitution
But that ignores the Declaration. All men are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. It didn't say all except the black man. It didn't say all except the Indians. It's all men are endowed by their creator.
It was well accepted at that time that black men, not men.
Can't argue with that. Washington himself, or Jefferson maybe, that wrote that the only thing the Declaration of Independence was an appeal to the popular opinion of the time, that there was nothing original to it. It was not a declaration that just was like some God-given thing. There was nothing new under the sun, and it was simply basically an appeal to popular opinion is all it was. That's what they wrote about it anyway.
Yeah, and they also toyed with the wording in the Constitution. If you go back and read the Continental Congress leading up to the writing of the Constitution and subsequent adoption, they toyed with what kind of phrase to use. We the people, we the colonies, we the several states. Well, they come to people. And the P is capitalized because a people, if you look at a people, it's a state. What is a state? It's a group of men and women bound together by mutual consent to act for each other's common good. If you don't want to be part of the state, you don't have to. But you won't enjoy none of the benefits that are derived from it.
And it was certainly for white people. There's no getting around that. Also, I do want to say, you know, you've been saying this over and over in different ways. We come up with these terms, and I used to do the same thing until I understood this concept, that the word only means what it means in the legal sense. So the word lawful is defined as legal. Warranted or authorized by the law, having the qualifications prescribed by law, not contrary to or forbidden by law. So legal and lawful are the same thing. The only way something can be legal is if it's of a law created in legal land. So to say lawful and legal is to say the same thing, unfortunately. The problem is that we don't know who we are, what we are, and how we're acting, and what capacity we're acting when we say it. So it's another one of those fallacies that I'd like to dispel, unfortunately. And, you know, it's how it is. Thanks, KW. Thanks, callers. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Problem, Clint.
Take it easy.
With financial uncertainty.